Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. Our guest for this full hour of a most troubling conversation is Bill Matthews, a lieutenant commander in the United States Navy, retired, having served with great distinction in the Navy's elite SEAL teams. He is an attorney by training, and for a good bit of time was the executive vice president and chief operating officer of a company known as Blackwater. He has been describing in our segments to this point both the role that Blackwater played at the early stages of this, this phase of what I call the war for the free world post 9/11, and specifically what the company was doing to try to protect diplomatic personnel in Iraq on the occasion and in the run-up and aftermath of an incident on September 16th, 2007, in Nisour Square in Baghdad. And, Bill, you've painted a picture of a very dangerous situation in which split-second decisions needed to be made and were. It seems from what you've said, and I gather what has been documented, that there were indeed people shooting at the convoy, if not actually sending another vehicle-borne improvised explosive device at it. But what happened after this firefight? I gather there was some loss of life on the part of Iraqis in that square. Do we know who they were and how many of them there were and who actually was responsible for shooting them?
Well, I'll tell you that we've never been able to examine the bodies of the individuals who were allegedly killed in Nisour Square. So we don't know, whether they were killed in the square or whether they were killed by our guys or perhaps by friendly fire. We don't know. And the number has also always been in dispute. Our guys did a quick assessment in the square and believe that they had 8 KIA. Later, the number went as high as 23, and 17 seems to be the number that the government is happy with. But it's always been there's always been a dispute, and I don't believe the government's number is correct. Of course, unlike an investigation that would happen in the United States, there would be a ballistics evaluation done. There would be a test on the body and on the wounds to determine, that there was some connection between a particular weapon and a particular wound, because there were bullets coming from both sides. That's been disputed by the government, but our vehicles all had pockmarks in them from the engagement. We actually had an AK-47 round get lodged in the undercarriage of one of our armored vehicles. So, it's not often that you can actually catch a bullet in combat, but we were able to. And despite all that, the government has always contested that we were not fired upon.
Yeah. And so the guys got out of the square, including Raven 4 with its VIP. What happened next, Bill Matthews?
So there was an uproar from the Iraqis. There was a tremendous amount of diplomatic pressure being put on our State Department to pursue the guys from Raven 23. We know that because WikiLeaks obtained, tons of emails on the subject and released those. And a lot of those emails had attachments, containing memorandums summarizing all these diplomatic discussions between the Iraqis and the Americans. And the Iraqis were very upset about the incident. And our government more or less promised the Iraqis a conviction.
And they sought, the government of Iraq initially sought to get that conviction there in their own courts. Is that right? And how did you all avoid that kangaroo court operation?
Well, there's always a status of forces agreement in place that describes how matters like this will be handled. And, that's ostensibly one of the reasons we left Iraq, is because we were not able to have to get an acceptable status of forces agreement in place with the Iraqis. But the SOFA would have prevented that. And we did end up in the district court in D.C. in front of Judge Urbina. And Judge Urbina reviewed the case and ended up dismissing the case. And in doing so, was very harsh with the Department of Justice, claiming, you know, that they had trampled the constitutional rights of the guys from Blackwater for the way they conducted the investigation and the prosecution. So that was the first time that we had won the case against the government for this matter.
Let me just ask you to pause for a second, because I want to put again this into some context. We're talking with Bill Matthews, of formerly of Blackwater, about what happened in the aftermath of this attack in Nisour Square. And Bill, this was in 2007. It turned into a major incident, diplomatic row with the government of Iraq. The Bush administration at the time was, I think, rocked by it. It was already under increasing pressure, I think it's fair to say, domestically, from critics of the whole war effort. And this contributed to a very active issue in the 2008 election, which, of course, brought to power Barack Obama and his administration, including Hillary Rodham Clinton as the Secretary of State, pretty much on a platform of ending the war and getting our troops out of there. The controversy about the role that contractors played, and specifically Blackwater, is really very much, I think, in the background and coloring, shall we say, a lot of this prosecution. So, just to get back to where you took us, these four Blackwater personnel involved in this rescue operation of Raven 23 were put on trial for first-degree murder in one case and for other improper use of, I guess, automatic weapons. Is that right? The first judge threw the whole thing out, and the Justice Department was able, nonetheless, to bring a new prosecution and pick up the story there.
So the government was forced to appoint an entirely new prosecution team to restart the effort, which they did. And they brought the case again in the D.C. Circuit, and we ended up in front of a judge in that court.
Now, why was it in the D.C. Circuit? Weren't these guys all picked up in Utah?
They were, and it's always been sort of a curious tactic, I thought, but they all self-surrendered in Utah. None of them were from the District of Columbia, but they had one witness that they, a guy named Jeremy Ridgway, who acted as the state's witness in the case, and Mr. Ridgway agreed to be flown to D.C. to surrender in D.C., and that's what the government claimed created jurisdiction in the D.C. Circuit.
So they forum shopped, I think is what you in the legal community would call this, and they got themselves Judge Royce Lamberth, who in the course of a very distinguished career on the bench has been, I thought, one of the better judges on a whole host of cases. In this one, it seems not so much. Tell us a little bit about his background and how it seemed to color his rulings in this case. We're going to hear more from Bill Matthews about Judge Royce Lamberth, who presided over the second trial of the Blackwater Four, and what came of his handling of the case and the extent to which it actually appears to be, in many ways, contributing factor in a grievous miscarriage of justice. That and more with Bill Matthews right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.